Coming to you today, live from our top secret broadcasting compound here at 1233 American Legion Drive. You already know where we are. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard, pastor of Bethel Church, and this is Pastor Mike Online. And I did not get raptured Saturday. I kind of wish I had, but I was glad to get home after seeing my family. And I did not get raptured Saturday. Harold Camping made this prediction that the world was going to end or start ending, and all the Christians are going to be raptured out there. And from what I hear, Harold Camping is having a really hard time with this. He's really struggling with the fact that he was wrong, and I want to help him out a little bit. Harold, if you're out there listening, if you're listening to us now, I've got something. Cheer up, Harold. Cheer up. It's not the end of the world. And I've got a song to play, what to do when the day after you're supposed to be raptured, Harold, and you didn't get raptured. Here's our song. See if you can recognize who that is. Can you dig it? Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's smiling that the world didn't end. I've got some Harold Camping news coming up in my stack of papers here that we're going to share with everybody, some things that people sent my way that I want to deal with today. So a lot of things going on over the weekend, and I want to talk about those. So we're going to deal with Harold Camping. We're going to deal with Barack H. Obama. Let's see here. The Pentagon doesn't like Barack Obama. The Secret Service does not like Barack Obama. Probably 70% of Americans does not like Barack Obama. The Arab world does not like Barack Obama because he supposedly killed Osama bin Laden. And now Israel, they don't like Barack Obama either. And we'll talk about that here. When everybody hates you, maybe you should look inwardly and find out what's going on. Anyway, we got stacks of papers here. Our website was hacked. Sunday morning. And I'll tell you a little bit about what happened and what went on. Sunday morning, our webmaster, Jazz, down in Ozark, Missouri, in a top secret webmaster control center. Okay. I don't even know where she lives. We met her for dinner here a few weeks ago, and she just showed up at the restaurant. So she doesn't tell me where she lives. But anyway, she got notified that our website had been hacked, and she immediately sprang into action. She actually caught the hackers in the process of hacking the website. And what they were doing was they were uploading, of all things, Lady Gaga videos. They were uploading Katy Perry videos. See, I don't know. This is either real ironic, or it's just, I don't know, some random event, or it's deliberate. Katy Perry videos, and she said Pamela Anderson porn. They were in the process of uploading to the server that serves our website so that it could be put on the website. So when you type in MikeHogger.com, you get all this trash up on the screen. And she caught them doing it and had to go, I don't know, she had to dig way, way, way deep in and change some big major root password to put a stop to it. She put a stop to it. But the problem is Google, once, I don't know what they do. They're, every now and then, I guess they run some sort of robot throughout the internet looking for malicious code. Well, this robot scanned our website at the time that these guys were hacking into our website. And so so Google flagged the website as being malicious. Okay. And I guess with Lady Gaga and, you know, Katy Perry and Pamela Anderson, that is malicious. So they flagged it as malicious. So a lot of you, you use Google to type in a website. If you want to do it better, up at the top of your browser, whether you use Firefox or Internet Explorer or Safari, those of you who are Apple freaks, there's an address bar at the top. Just click it up there, and you actually type in www.mikehogger.com, and that bypasses Google. But anyway, Google, you go to Google, and you type in mikehogger.com, and Google put up this big thing, said, oh, no, you don't want to go there. That's dangerous. Mikehogger.com is malicious. It's bad. It's bad for your computer health. It's terrible. And now there was a bypass button that you could go to. You click on the bottom, and you hit this thing, and it'd go to our website. But by then, the damage had been done, and Jazz took the website completely down. It's still down now. Now I'm gonna share a little secret here in just a little bit. Something that only Jazz and I know about, and a few others. But anyway, Jazz completely stripped everything out of the server related to MikeHogger.com, that domain, and started all over again, started from scratch. Well, she starts all over again. She sends a note to Google and says, hey, Google, we cleaned our site. Would you please unflag our website? So that doesn't happen. And so anyway, there's Gary standing behind me. Here's Gary. He's got a note. Let's see here. Is this from Jazz?
Yes.
The live feed, oh my goodness. Talk about breaking news. I've just been told by Jazz, our webmaster. I'm going to type this in here, www.mikehogger.com. And looky there. If you go to mikehogger.com right now, you will see our live feed. I'll tell you what, this gal is something else. Praise the Lord. Hip, hip, hooray for Jazz. Anyway, so Google flagged it as malicious. She sent word to Google saying, we cleaned it out, unflag it. And they said, oh no, it's still bad. So she did it again. And they said, oh no, it's under review. And oh my goodness, it's terrible. And oh, this and that and the other. Well, finally today I come in and Google has removed, that I know of, they've removed. Let me check it again real fast here. I'm going to go to www.google. Let me change poses here. You can see what I'm doing here. www.google.com. And I'm going to type in Mike Hoggard. And I'm going to click on Mike Hoggard. And they have no longer flagged our website as being malicious. And so praise the Lord for that. Now the big secret. And, you know, the Lord's in everything. What they mean to us for evil, God means to us for good. Jazz has been, she has done an incredible job with everything that we do. We are on the internet now and doing all the things that we're doing because the Lord put us together. Someone handed her a video cassette tape. That's how far back this goes. Of Mike Hoggard saying something. I don't know what it was. But anyway, she liked it and she said, I got to get in touch with this guy. And she called me out of the blue and she said, I am a computer geek. I do nothing but sit around and type stuff in a computer all day. She said, I'd like to do that for you. And I said, well, okay. So we started a sort of a relationship there. Excuse me. And over the years, she's done an incredible job. She's the one that came up with the idea of a blog, the Hog Blog. And so she started that, and she said, we could put your videos on this thing. I said, hey, oh yeah, that sounds good. So then, you know, having all of this in place, then that's when God gives me the idea in January of 2009, to start the Watchman video broadcast. And no, it's 2008 to start the Watchman video. Let's see. Okay, whatever. Anyway, one of those years, we started the Watchman video broadcast, and so the rest is, you know, what you're seeing in front of us. So she's helped facilitate all this. Also, we have Harmon down in Georgia, who God put in my path, who's done video work for his church. And he's helped me set up all the streaming stuff. And I'll tell you what, just God is putting all this together, and we praise the Lord for that. So anyway, but the big secret with that we know that you don't know yet, and don't tell anybody, is that Jazz has been working on brand new websites, for one for the Watchman video broadcast, one for the Pure Bible Study, one for Pastor Mike Online, and she is that close to getting them done. And so anyway, you pray for her. You pray for her because this is her business. She does this for clients. They pay her money to do this. And so all the time that she works for us, she's having to take away time from the people that she is earning money from. And so say a very special prayer for Jazz and all the work she's doing and all the stuff, the pressure that she is under, you know, with trying to get the website going. And then on top of that, trying to, you know, clean up this hacking mess. Now, was this hacking mess deliberate? I don't know. We don't know. It could be. It happened on Sunday morning. It happened at a time. I just came back from Bristol, Virginia, doing a conference there. By the way, had a great time out there, and I met some of the people that send me emails and are on our watchers list and things like that. And I've never seen their, they come up to me and say, we know who you are. And I'm going, yeah, I don't know who you are. But anyway, we met some good people out there, spoke with Noah Hutchings and Dr. Bob Glaze from Southwest Radio, Larry Spargimino, the British newspaper editor, Alan Franklin, I love this guy and his wife. And Tom Horn was out there. I got to meet Tom Horn for the first time, and we're pretty good buds so far. And I appreciate, he spoke right before me on two different occasions, and everything that he was saying, I would get up right after him and follow him up with scripture. I mean, it was just great the way the Lord put this thing together. But anyway, here I'm out there in Bristol, Virginia. A lot of these people probably never heard of me before. And, so they're probably Googling Mike Hoggard this weekend. They go home from the conference, they Google Mike Hoggard, and they type in Mike Hoggard, and all of a sudden, you know, Google's telling them this is bad. Don't go there. Okay, whatever you do, don't go there. So anyway, the Lord is good to us. Let's deal with some pieces of paper. Let's deal with some pieces of paper here that I have, and we've got pieces of paper to deal with. We have our weekly and what'll be biweekly. By the way, we will be on the air Thursday at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time with another Pastor Mike online video, radio, whatever you want to call it, broadcast. Anyway, we'll be on the air Thursday. So this will be we're going to do our pieces of paper. We're going to do our bi-weekly UFO video. I got a pretty interesting one and some pictures of UFOs. And, oh, by the way, we are, I am monitoring all things online right now. I am at my Gmail box, and I'm looking to see if anybody sent me any emails. If you want to get in contact with me during this live broadcast, send me an email at Pastor Mike Online. Take that back. Pastor Mike at KingJamesCode.org. Pastor Mike at KingJamesCode.org. If you have a question, oh, look here. I've got some already. Look here. Now, let me read this. This is from Melissa T. She said I could give her name. She said, just came in from the outside tilling up our garden just for your stream. Woohoo, give us a shout out. And she recognized the song Sunshiny Day. That was the Brady Kids, by the way. And I like that song. Here's another one. It still says on the website over here in Indiana, we've been hacked again, yet it has a live stream going. Odd. Just thought I'd let you know. So Jazz has put the live stream, embedded it into the remnants of our website. And here's one from a fellow I'm watching in Manchester, Northwest England, as I always do. Have a great webcast, brother. That is probably the worst British accent ever. So you can send me an email at PastorMike@KingJamesCode.org, or you can send me a live instant message from WatchmanCommunity.com. Here is our pieces of paper. We're going to do that. We're going to do our UFO video, and we are going to do a random access Bible study. Progressives urge Obama to dump Israel. This is from May 20th, 2011. Unofficial Obama advisor Medea Benjamin, founder of Code Pink, organized a small demonstration in Washington, D.C. this week to demand that the U.S. terminate military aid to Israel. Not one nickel, not one dime. We won't pay for Israel's crimes. Benjamin led the demonstration in the anti-Israel chants. One protester from Washington, D.C., Green Party, said the U.S. and Israel were terrorist governments. Now, that may be true. That may be true. But you probably heard over the weekend that Obama has Benjamin Netanyahu come over from Israel, sit down with him in front of everybody, doesn't pull him to side in the Oval Office and have a private little chat with him, in front of everybody, announces to the world that he thinks that Benjamin Netanyahu ought to pull back the Israeli borders to what they were before 1967. Let's go back to 1967. I remember it well. I was a year old. I remember watching the news. And what happened in 1967 was that God, and I say God because I think that that is a partial fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 37. Go read it, okay? They're back in the land. That's Israel. They're back in the land. And but what happened in 1967 is that Israel basically took what was theirs. They took over the rest of Jerusalem. They took over, I heard something this weekend at the conference, I think Dr. Bob Glaze spoke on this, an area of land in Israel that is the largest and main freshwater supply in all of the land of Israel. They took that over because without fresh water, you don't have a place to live. So anyway, they took that over, and now President Barack Obama said, I just want peace. Let's just give peace a chance. And so he asked Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, to back off, to give over the land to those people. And, of course, Netanyahu said, no, I'm sorry, can't do that. They'll kill us all if we do that. And and that's why I said earlier that President Obama, since he's been in office, has made all the most of the Christians in this country mad at him. They don't like him. He's made the boys in the Pentagon not like him, and they don't like him. Someone told me this weekend, I don't know how they know, I don't know how true it is. They said that there are elements in the Secret Service that doesn't like him. The Arabs, the Muslim Arab world, does not like President Barack Hussein Obama, even though he goes over there apologizing for America and says, I'm one of y'all. They don't like him. They, I can imagine a scenario right now where the remnant of Al-Qaeda is planning some terrible thing against the United States of America as a result of us going killing, you know, Osama bin Laden. And now Israel, and you need to understand something about Israel. And I know the government of Israel is not, you know, they probably are terrorists. They, you know, I don't want to defend something that I don't know a whole lot about. But I will tell you that the Mossad, which is the CIA of Israel, one of the fiercest cutthroat spy organizations in the world, and I don't suspect that they like him all that well either. What am I saying? I'm saying they don't like him. That's all I'm saying. And so anyway, it's time to if you know about our church, know what we stand for here, you know that we believe in prayer. And I believe, and I'm going to preach, if God will let me, and if God's in it, I'm going to preach Sunday morning on Romans chapter 13, dealing with higher powers. And I'm not talking about the Alcoholics Anonymous higher power, which is some generic thing. Unless you are a true born-again Christian, I'm talking about those that are in authority. And I believe in biblical authority. I believe in... Even Pharaoh, you got to understand, God is the one who put Israel under Pharaoh's authority. God is the one who did that. You go back, we're studying Genesis on Wednesday night, and we're dealing with Joseph right now. And Joseph, we're about to see Joseph thrown into, he's sold into slavery. And God is the one through Joseph and his brothers coming down in Egypt. God is the one who put Israel under Pharaoh's authority. And when God sent Moses when God raised Moses up and sent him back to Pharaoh, God didn't say, now, Pharaoh, it's our people. I'm sorry, we're leaving. We're out of here. That's not what Moses did. God specifically gave him the words and said, Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Allow them to go. God is the one who put them under Pharaoh's authority. Not even God was going to violate that authority. Now, God moved in Pharaoh by giving him, and the number for authority and dominion is the number 10. So how many plagues did it take to get Israel out of Pharaoh's dominion into God's dominion by which he gave them how many commandments? He gave them 10 commandments. God used 10 plagues. Pharaoh changes his mind and says, here, take them. Get them out of here. Okay, and so anyway, I believe in biblical authority, and I believe that we ought to pray for the President of the United States. I believe we ought to pray for the safety of the President of the United States, because if he is cut down in this nation, we don't want to deal with the aftermath. Pray for his family and his family's safety. Pray for all the infidel, unfaithful, adulterous, drunken, fornicating, homosexual, drug-taking, corrupt, bribe-taking politicians that we have in Washington, D.C., and the judges. Pray for them. Pray for them. They are in authority, and I want God blessing America again. And you pray for the higher powers in this country, and you pray for the safety of the President of the United States, and pray that it'll get saved. Here is another piece of paper with writing on it. Pulpit Pals, Christians, Jews, Muslims plan shared worship. Not here. They're not doing it here. They're not doing it here, number one, because this place is a secret and they don't know where we are. Religious and human rights activists are asking U.S. churches to invite Jewish and Muslim clergy to their sanctuaries to read from sacred texts next month. Can I correct that? There is only one sacred text in the entire world. And that's this little black book right here. The Quran is not a sacred text. The Kabbalah manuals that the Jews use are not sacred texts. I have a copy of the Bhagavad Gita in my office. It's about this thick. It's full of weird stuff from India. It is not a sacred text. Anyway, the June 26 initiative called Faith Shared, Uniting in Prayer and Understanding is co-sponsored by the Interfaith Alliance and Human Rights First. Leaders of the two Washington-based groups said the event hopes to demonstrate respect for Islam in the wake of Quran burnings in recent months. Respect for Islam. That's interesting. as a Christian minister who is a pastor, and I'm quoting now from the Reverend Welton Gaddy. As a Christian minister who is a pastor in a local congregation, it is important to me for our nation and our world to know that not all Christians promote hate, attack religions different from their own, and seek to desecrate the scriptures of others. I'm going to stop right here. And like I say, that is a quote from the Reverend Welton Gaddy, president of the Interfaith Alliance. This is what he said Tuesday, probably, yeah, last week. Number one, I do not promote hate except for sin. I hate sin. I hate what sin has done to my country. I hate what sin has done in my marriage. I hate what sin has done in my children. I hate what sin has done in my church. I hate what sin has done in some very good friends of mine. I hate what sin has done to ministers that I fellowshiped with. I hate it. I hate what sin has done to our civilization, our country. That's what I hate, and I will promote that kind of hate until I lay down and die. I will promote that kind of hate. I will attack religions different from my own. If I didn't believe what I preached, I wouldn't preach it. If I didn't believe that Christianity was the right way, if I didn't believe that, what good am I? Okay, why don't I just my collar, this shirt, I love this shirt, it's very comfortable. This collar sticks up like this. Okay, it's crazy. Anyway, I will attack different religions because, and I'll do it for one reason. I don't want you, your friends, your family members, your loved ones, or anybody else joining a cult. I don't want them to become Mormons. By the way, Sunday night, Bradley Crum, a young man in our church, came out of the Mormon church. He preached Sunday night on why Mormonism is unbiblical according to the Bible. He used quotes from men inside the Mormon church. He used quotes from them and quotes from the doctrinal books, and he even read from the Book of Mormon. And he went verse by verse with it. I'll tell you, he did an outstanding job. It should be on our, I think it is already on our website, sermonaudio.com/Bethel. You can get a copy of that. I'm going to work on it this month and put it on a DVD and send it out to everybody on our watchers list and have it available as a DVD. It was an outstanding message. Very simple. But it was good. If he were here today, he would tell you he does not want anybody joining the Mormon church. He doesn't. In fact, he'll say, come out. That's why he preached the message. And I told him, I said, man, this is our evangelism tool right here. Okay? Because if you know somebody that is a Mormon, you get in touch with our office and say, Pastor Mike, I want a copy of that DVD. And we'll send that to you. And you copy that thing. And if you want copies, we'll send you copies. And you give that thing out to people because we don't want them to be Mormons. His twin brother is a Jehovah's Witness. He comes to this church now, preaches Sunday night, loves the King James Bible. He does not want people becoming Jehovah's Witness. I don't want anybody going back into Catholicism. I don't want anybody going into the Baha'i faith. I don't want anybody becoming a Hindu, a Muslim. I don't want, there was a guy in this church years ago that came to me and, I mean, his life was devastated. He thought he was going to die. And he came to me looking for help, and I befriended him and took him and his family. So they started coming to church, and he had been in the hospital a few times, and I went with him and took him for surgery. And, I mean, I did everything in the world that I could for him. He ended up being pulled back into, I think at one time he used to be, I don't remember what he was. He ended up being, I think he was a Mason. He ended up being pulled back into Masonry. And then through that, he got out of that. And now, because he wanted to get all these business contacts and the business he was in, he decided to put a little beanie on his hat without a little propeller on it, call himself a Jew. Now he goes around telling everybody he's an Orthodox Jew. Okay? So he thinks now that by living by the law that he can inherit eternal life and be saved. And the truth is, he can't. I don't want anybody going into that. And I am going to attack other religions. I'm going to attack things that are pretending to be Christianity in churches, and if they're not Christianity, I'm going to come out against it. Is that hate? No, I love people because I know that only one road in this world leads to eternal life. I know that one way does. One way. Not a myriad of ways, not a bunch of ways, but one way. And I'm gonna come out and attack religions inside of the church that are not the truth according to the Word of God. They're false things. I already got one request for Bradley's message here. Here's somebody saying you were talking about no one. I'm reading emails here. You were talking about no one likes Obama. This person says, I don't know if this is true. Scotland Yard has given Obama the code name Chalak, Chalaque, a Punjabi word meaning someone who is too clever for his own good or a smart aleck. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that is interesting here. Let's see, what else does anybody say? Here's someone, Pastor Mike, don't ever stop speaking the truth. You're part of our family's worship. You can use my name. We see the broadcast fine. This is Brian Russell from Charlotte, North Carolina. I was in the Charlotte airport. No offense. The hub of U.S. Airways is in Charlotte, and I'm not a big fan of U.S. Airways anymore. I've got bumped and everything like that. Jazz is sending me an email saying, hey, Pastor Mike, here we go. Brand new. Are you ready for this? Okay. This is from Jazz. She says, tell people to refresh the MikeHogger.com. She says, hey, Pastor Mike, I've decided to allow everyone to see and probably give you feedback, LOL, the WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com. So let's see here. I'm going to type in at the address bar, www.MikeHogger.com. And we'll see what comes up. No. Now we're going to go to www.watchmanvideobroadcast.com and see what comes up. Looky there. You've got to see this. And there's actually a feature on this software that I'm using to let you see the screen, but you'll have to type it in yourself. Watchmanvideobroadcast.com. I don't know how long, Jazz, let me know how long this is going to be up. If it's permanent, fine. But just kind of let me know. And do you have, I know she's listening here, do you have, the DNS turned from MikeHogger.com to WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com? Anyway, let me know. That's exciting. And I want to tell you what, if you're not looking at this, go to it right now. You just open up another tab or another window in your browser and take a look. I want to tell you what, this looks nice. She has done an incredible job on this, and we praise the Lord for that. Anyway, warning you against false cults. Harold Camping, and I need to hurry because I got a UFO video to deal with, and I've got a random access Bible study. So let me flip through my pieces of paper here. Oh, somebody sent me this. Let me do a little fold up here. And I've got something to talk about this week on the Watchman video broadcast that relates to, I'm going to hold this up here for you. This is the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs, okay? Now, I will tell you that most affairs in this country, they like to keep them private. But here's the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs, and notice the symbol, okay? Very interesting. I went to see Thor the other day. Someone recommended it to me. I usually try to ignore all that junk out there. But they said, Pastor Mike, you've got to go see this. And I did. I went to see it. I don't really recommend it. But I'm going to report to you on the Watchman broadcast this week what was in there. That symbol was there. And when I explain it to you and how that symbol was there, it's absolutely incredible. Harold Camping, old guy, 90 years old, took in, I don't know, tens of millions of dollars telling everybody from, and the question somebody asked me is, where did he get his money? Where did Harold Camping get tens of millions of dollars? Okay? Who has that kind of money? You have to wonder about that. Because right now, as it is, anybody, and see, they've nationalized this thing, and probably worldwide, I don't know. They've made this thing so big, the news media, well, Harold Camping made this thing so big, and the news media picked up on it. And now anybody that speaks about the rapture, which I believe in, the translation of the Gentile church in the last days, I'm working on a video for that, a new video to teach about that. And I believe it biblically. I don't believe what everybody else says. When God called me in this ministry, I threw everything out. God, you put it back the way you want to. And I believe in it. I'm a staunch believer in it. But you start talking about the rapture to people now, and they're going to laugh in your face. They are going to laugh in your face because of Harold Camping and what he did. And seriously, Harold, get over it. Have, you know, put a smile on your face. It's not like the world's come to an end here. But anyway, people took everything that they had and sold it, got rid of it, took the money, lived on almost nothing. One guy in New York spent $190,000 putting up billboards, signs everywhere. Some guy painted his van, running around telling everybody May 21st is it. That's it, okay? And it's all because of this crazy heretic called Harold Camping. Owns family radio, a bunch of radio stations all over the world, has this big, significant influence. Now, here's the funny thing, okay? And I theorize this. Not everything that I theorize comes to pass, but, you know, it's nice to think every now and then. I had it figured that while everybody else that was following Harold Camping took all their stuff, all their money, and spent it on all this advertising, they figured, you know, May 21st, not going to need it, okay? I theorized that Harold Camping didn't do that. And so, lo and behold, he is post-apocalypse, May 22nd. Nobody hears from him. Then he puts this a thing up on Facebook saying, wow. God must have heard all of our prayers. And he didn't kill everybody. God changed his mind because the God that I believe in changes his mind. That's not the God of the Bible. And he even hypothesized in this little thing that that if everybody would have prayed, if enough people would have prayed in the days of Noah, God wouldn't have sent the flood. That is not what the Bible says. And so anyway, then he comes out today, and he issues a statement from his broadcasting center. Number one, why did he sell his office? In fact, somebody offered Harold Camping $1 million to sell everything that he had. I offered him $1 million. He said, just, you know, you're not going to need it. I want your office, your studio, your house, everything. Harold Camping didn't take the guy up on the offer, which tells me that if Harold Camping didn't sell everything that he had, it tells me that he didn't really believe it either. Not really. But he told everybody that he believes it. And so now Harold Camping is now he's saying, May what? No. You misunderstood me. I meant October 21st. That's what I meant. I meant to say that. I was in a hurry, and I meant to say now it's October 21st. So the guy changes his mind. Somebody sent me this, a little bit about Harold Camping. And this is some of the things that he's put out on family radio. Harold Camping proclaimed the Lord's return would be in 1994. Not. Harold Camping now proclaims the Lord's return would be on May 21st, 2011. Not. Harold Camping teaches that the world will end in fiery destruction on October 21st. Not. Harold Camping has aired Mormon advertisements on family radio. Harold Camping taught that no one was saved between 1988 and 1994. Harold Camping teaches that the church age ended in 1994. Harold Camping teaches that the Holy Spirit is no longer working in the church. Harold Camping teaches that every church in the world is apostate. Except, of course, for Harold Camping. Now, I do want to do this. Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? What did I do with my Bible? It's under my stacks of paper. Let me help you out, okay? That no man knoweth the day or the hour thing, that's, you know, it's got to believe the Bible. Harold Camping is a false prophet. How can you say that, Pastor Mike? Let me help you out. And I've taught this several times before, Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is not a random access Bible study, but I need to hurry. God said in Deuteronomy 18, he said, I will raise him up a prophet, capital P, from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet, listen to this, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, here it is right here. When the prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Remember what Peter said about the false prophets of the last days. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. That was Peter or Jude, one of the two. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. In other words, the test of a real prophet of God is that they are right 100% of the time. They can never, ever, ever, ever be wrong. They cannot be a degree wrong, a shade of a degree wrong. They can't say, well, you know, I kind of spoke in generalities, and it didn't really come, you know, the way I spoke it, but, you know, God meant it a different way. No. God does not have a speech impediment. Paul said, for we use plainness of speech. God will do exactly what he said he was going to do in this word, and I am telling you, it will be a literal working of God's word in the last days. You won't have to guess. You won't have to, when something happens, you won't go, I wonder if that's what the Bible was talking about, maybe. You won't have to do that. It'll happen, and we'll go, this is that which was spoken by the prophets. And so, get out of the Herald camping camp, all right? Let's see here. Whatever. Oh, yeah, Doomsday Preacher set new date for Judgment Day. Now it's whatever, October 21st. So if I were you, I wouldn't plan a Halloween party for 10 days after that. If I were you, I wouldn't plan one anyway, okay? Anyway, enough of the pieces of paper. Let's get to our... It is time for our, let me hit our music here, and we're going to play our UFO video of the week. This is, let's see, what was this from? I think this was from Ireland. Yeah. I didn't know they had Irish UFOs. And that's where leprechauns come from. Anyway, here is our Irish UFO, and this kind of looks weird. Itself is not the UFO, it's the thing inside of the circle. Gotta explain that to some people. And then here's another one here from New Zealand, and it qualifies as unidentified. We don't know what it is. Here's another one. Again, it's not the circle that's the unidentified flying object, it is what is inside the circle, and that is our UFO video slash picture of the week. Let's check my email. Let's go back to the inbox, see if anybody, let's see here. Oh, my, boy, you guys are writing in here. Somebody says Obama in Scotland Yard. The guy that sent me the thing about Obama's name in Scotland Yard, he says it's true. This guy says, Pastor Mike, I love you in the Lord, the only Lord Jesus. I came out of Seventh-day Adventism and then found you and my wife, and I listen to your live church services. Thank you for all. You can use my name, Vern, in Pennsylvania. Thank you. God bless you, Vern. Here is, this is something interesting. Maybe some of you watchers out there can look at this. This is from somebody who says, have you looked into the Teen Challenge logo? It's called Starman. We were talking about it the last time we talked. Here is something from Jazz. She says, the WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com will stay open. It still needs work, like a Facebook fan page, Twitter, and latest videos, but almost done. The DNS has not been turned yet for PastorMikeOnline.com. Still working. Scheduled launch is Thursday morning in time for your live broadcast. The cover sheet will be coming off of PureBibleStudy.com later tonight. I will post a link on it in the Watchman community and on MikeHager.com when it's launched. Give Jazz a round of applause, okay? Here's one more. It says, Harold Camping also teaches the JW lie that Michael the Archangel is really Jesus. Well, I can help you with that because I am Michael the Archangel and I am not Jesus. All right. Let me check the Watchman community and see if anybody. Nobody is contacting me with live instant messaging from the Watchman community. Where are all the Watchman community people? I'm a little put out. Anyway, let's do our random access Bible study. We're going to randomly access this Bible here. I'm going to take it. Let me switch camera angles here so you can see that I'm going to do this without any camera tricks whatsoever. And I've got my head turned, and I'm going to open up my Bible to right here. And this is actually nothing. This is not really the Bible. It's just like this little thing in the back of your Thompson chain reference. So let me do this again, okay? Spin it around, and I'll do it like this and open it like that. And that doesn't count either because that's Revelation chapter 2, and I'm already dealing with that in the pure Bible study. So let's do this again. Let's go to here. Oh, look. I love this. This is the book of Psalms. And I love the book of Psalms. I call, let me switch cameras again here. I call the book of Psalms God's medicine cabinet. And I tell people, when you really need some serious help, go to the medicine cabinet. Go talk to God. Take about 3 or 4 chapters out of the book of Psalms every day and read it and let God apply some balm for your soul. Or, in some cases, let God do some surgery, okay? Let him pop a boil in your life. I absolutely love the ointment of the apothecary in the book of Psalms. At one time in my life, I mean, I hit rock bottom. I mean, I was down there. And I've been in church all my life. I was saved when I was 9, answered the call to preach when I was 16 here at Bethel Church. I remember the sermon. I remember where I was on everything. But I mean, I hit it hard. And I, for the first time, instead of just studying the Bible like in Sunday school or in Bible college, I was looking for help. And I started going through the Psalms, and I would point to passages in Psalms and say, God, you do this, okay? You're not a liar. I know that much. God, you're not a liar, and I need some serious, serious help. And God, the miracle is, all those many years ago, the things that I was praying to God for, He started doing, and he's been doing it ever since. God didn't forget what I asked him. All that God has never forgotten anything that I've ever asked him. And I just praise the Lord for that. The book of Psalms, chapter 1. I love this. Blessed is the man. And I usually tell people blessing, to be blessed, is a salvation term. If you are saved, you are blessed. Okay? In other words, you've had the curse removed from you. And let me answer this question too, because people ask me this a lot. They'll say, Pastor Mike, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Because there are people out there telling you that you can be a Christian and still have devils in you, making you cuss, making you look at dirty pictures, making you hate people, making you sick, that you've got devils in you, and you need Benny Hindu to come and yank them out of you. You are not, and you cannot, as a born-again, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled Christian, you do not have two gods sitting on the throne of your heart. You're not possessed by a devil if you are truly born again. And where do you get that? Go read the book of Numbers. Go read what Balak tried to tell Balaam to do. He tried to tell them, curse Israel. Curse them. Okay? Curse them so they'll be out of my way. I don't want Israel in here. And Balaam said, I cannot curse what God has blessed. I can't do it. Okay? And that is a theme throughout the scriptures. We don't belong to the devil. We are bought with a price, the Bible says, and we are God's. So I hope that helps you. But blessing is a salvation term. Blessed is the man. You want to be saved. If you want blessings in your life, if you want blessings in your marriage, And if you're married, you need blessings in your marriage, okay? Husbands need blessings from their wives. Wives need blessings from their husbands. They need to be a blessing and receive a blessing. That's how it works. You need blessings in your family. You need blessings. Somebody called me today, and they're having an issue in their family. You pray for this one. I'm not going to mention it, but you just say, God, whatever Pastor Mike's talking about right now, God, please help this family, because that's what I prayed today. You need blessings in your family. We need blessings in our churches. We need blessings when we read the Bible. We need blessings at work. We need everything that we do. Somebody has emailed us and they have a little financial deal, and it's really a burden to them. And we as a church have prayed that God would give them a blessing of some kind. And you could be as poor as Joe's dirt and be blessed, because it's related to salvation. But listen to this. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not following the world's systems and the world's ways. He's not listening to the counsel of ungodly people. Number two, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't go to the bars. He doesn't go to all the places of ill repute. He doesn't hang out with people that hang out in those places. He's not standing where all the sinners are congregating. And number two, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Three things here. And he says, blessed is that man that never does this. Okay? Now, and let me read verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I believe in biblical meditation. I don't believe, and I've taught on this, the contemplative prayer video, get a copy of this. You do not empty your mind and go into a trance like this and start hearing God on the inside of you. When you meditate, you are thinking. Paul said in Philippians 4, think on these things. Have your mind sober and think about the things of the Word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, I read this, and there are other places in the Bible where, you know, the Bible says, well, blessed is this and blessed is that. He says it in Jesus, the very first sermon that he preached, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, he gives the Beatitudes, and I love the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, and I like that. But I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed in everything that goes on in my life. I want this ministry to be blessed by God. I want the labor that I put into this, and it's fun for me. It's a joy to do this, but I want that blessed by God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, and I want these things blessed. The problem is that I have not and I still do not always delight in the law of the Lord, and I do not always meditate in it day and night. I have not done it yet, and I don't do it now. I wish that I did. I wish that I could take 1 hour for meals and bathing and things like that, and spend 23 hours a day reading the Bible, studying the Bible, writing notes, making videos, doing broadcasts, witnessing. I wish that I could do that. I wish that my mind never wandered away from the Word of God, but it does. I'm just telling you, it does, and I hate it. I hate it bad. I have at times walked in the counsel of the ungodly. I've followed the crowd. I've stood where the sinners have stood, trying to be one of them. I've sat in the seat of the scornful. I've been mad at God. I told somebody that somebody called with a prayer request, and I said, I told him, I was mad at God. My wife was there with me. I was angry at God to such an extent that and my wife knows this. I picked a Bible up, and I said, Lisa, you better tell me if this is true or not. Okay? Me, the King James Code guy. I've been all of those things. I would like to say that right now, I don't ever see a time when I will not be these things. I would like to say that. I don't see that happening anytime until I lose this blob here. Okay? So how do I get those blessings? How do I get them? How is it that I can end up being like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season? How can I be fruitful? His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How can that happen to me? And that's really, and I want to get down to it. That's exactly what you've thought. And maybe the devil was helping put these ideas in your mind. Is the idea that you've blown it. Forget that. Okay? You're not no good. Okay? You'll never be a Christian. You'll never be the holy person that everybody else is. You'll never be that, so give up. Or you don't think that God's blessings and God's going to love you and do anything for you because you've done things that are bad. I know how it feels. I have felt that way, and I've had people tell me that's how they feel. One dear friend of ours, her father died suddenly, just like that. We were all at the hospital, and her father died. He went on. I mean, he was born again, loved the Lord, he was saved, but he died. And anyway, she came to me, and she said, "Is God punishing me for the things that I've done wrong in my life?" And she was a born again Christian, and I said, "No." No, God's not mean that way to us. Once sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. But how is it that we who have violated God's word, who've rebelled on God, who woke up on Sunday morning and said, "I don't want to go to church." You may have even acted sick before. "I don't want to go. Oh, I feel terrible. Oh, no." And you didn't go. You came up with some excuse why you didn't read your Bible, why you were too mad to pray. How is it that we can get any blessings? Because we've already blown it. Let me tell you who this is talking about. It said, "Blessed is the man." Pilate looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the man." Okay? The man is Christ Jesus. He's the one with all the blessings. He's the one that never, never walked in the counsel of the ungodly. He never stood in the way of sinners. He didn't congregate with them, in other words, doing what they're doing. He never got mad and scorned God. He never did. And Jesus' delight, and I can prove this to you, Jesus' delight was in the law of the Lord, and in his law did he meditate. Now, I'm opening my mouth saying I can prove this to you. Where is it where the Bible's talking about? I know it's in Hebrews. Let me do this very quickly. Oh, my goodness, we've gone past time, but that's okay. As long as you're okay, I'm okay. I want to finish this. Jesus never did those things, and he delighted in the law of the Lord. I'm looking for Hebrews, and this Bible's coming so far apart that it's hard to thumb through the pages quickly, but that's all right. A Bible that is falling apart belongs to a Christian who is not falling apart. Hebrews chapter 10 says of Jesus, in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He's quoting from the book of Psalms, I know for a fact. And then in the book of Psalms, he says, I delight to do thy will, O God. So his delight was in the law of the Lord, and in his law did he meditate day and night. He did not have an awry thought. He was not lusting after Mary Magdalene, the way the movie's put out. He was not doing those things. He is the one who is the tree planted by the rivers of water. Go back to the Garden of Eden and you'll see that tree. It's not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the tree of life that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. For his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How is it that we can get these blessings in our lives, even though we have broken God's law? Through Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, why is it that way? Because Jesus does not play second fiddle to anybody. And when God says, I'm a jealous God, he means exactly that. And so God has raised up Jesus Christ, the righteous, and the only righteous one in the entire world ever was Jesus Christ. God raised him up to be exalted on high above all things, so that when we get to heaven, they're not casting crowns at you. We're throwing them at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he alone is worthy of these things. But he offers to us these blessings that he has a right to, according to the scriptures. He has a right to them. And as a friend, a brother, an advocate, everything else that you want to call Jesus, as those things, he offers them just like Joseph to his brothers. And he says, you were hungry in your land, and I know you meant evil for me, but God sent me into this land to be your Savior. And I want to share with you everything that God has put in my hands to do. And that's Jesus. He shares the blessings. And I just love the King James Bible. Praise the Lord for you today. Looks like we had about 160 some odd people joining with us. And that's not bad. I was afraid starting out we wouldn't have anybody joining in with us this week because of the disaster of our website. And but anyway, I thank you for coming along. Appreciate Jazz. If you want to, info@kingjamesco.org, and send her an email and tell her thank you for all the hard work that she has done and the hard work she has put into doing what she's doing. And you just tell her thank you. Before we get out of here, let's see if it'll load up. I'm having a little problem here. I'm getting an email saying, brother, somebody from the Watchman community had a funny question for you. By the way, here's a mystery I'd like Mike to explain. That drawing of him sitting at the computer at the beginning of the program seems to have lost some weight. How did it do that? This is the Blob, signing out. We'll be back with you on Thursday at 1 o'clock. And tomorrow I hope to have a pure Bible study recorded and available for you. Anyway, send Jazz a note. Tell her thank you for all the hard work that she has put into our website. Tell God thank you for what he's done. This is Pastor Mike, and I will see you Here's the skinny, Pastor Mike. And I will see you on Thursday. God bless you.